The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned, and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson, John 8, 31 to 36. The sermon title is "A People of the Word, Dear Brothers and Sisters in Christ." When Martin Luther started the Lutheran Reformation in 1517, what did he imagine that the church would look like when he was done with the reform? What was the goal toward which he was taking those who were willing to follow his lead? Was he simply reacting against things that he thought were wrong? Or did he have a new vision of what the church could and should be? Our gospel lesson today expresses what Martin Luther had in mind when he attacked the Pope and the doctrines and practices that were unique to the Catholic Church. Jesus said in verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That, in a nutshell, was what the Reformation was all about, as far as Luther was concerned. Luther wanted the church to remain in Jesus' word, without adding to the word, without deleting from it, or altering the word, so that the church would be the true church as intended by Jesus, so that the church would know and proclaim the truth, and so that Christians would be free from sin and all its powers and effects. Martin Luther envisioned the church as a people, not an international political power, as it was then, nor as a department of the government or a not-for-profit organization, as it became thereafter. Now, you have to think about, when you use that word church, what do you mean? Luther wrote these memorable words in his small called Articles, quote, "Thank God, even a seven-year-old child knows what the church is, namely, holy believers and sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd." That's small called Articles, Article 3, Section 12. What do they believe that makes them holy? God's holy word. Where do they hear the voice of the shepherd? God's holy word. Martin Luther envisioned the church as a people of the word. Although all Protestants claim Martin Luther as the founder of their type of religion, not all of them accepted his vision of what the church should be. Chief among these was King Henry VIII of England, and those two got in a fight by letters, and it wasn't pretty. Henry was king, but he found that his sovereign will over affairs in England was thwarted by the Pope through the cardinals and the bishops and the abbots and the clergy. Everywhere he looked, the king's will was being thwarted. In particular, the Pope refused to annul Henry's marriage to Catherine of Aragon. But the Pope had granted annulments for many other kings and princes. This demonstrated to Henry that the Pope was only concerned about manipulating kings and nations to his unholy purposes, not unlike the Emperor in Star Wars movies. In Henry VIII's mind, by the way, all English-speaking people derive some ideas from Henry. The church should be a department of the government, governed by the Christian king. The purpose of the church for Henry was to guide the religion, morals, and behavior of the people for their own good, for the good of the kingdom, and for the good of the king. If the religion, morals, or behavior of the Christian king changed, then the church would have to change in that way too. And these were the basic ideas of the Anglican Church, which were originally adopted by almost all the Protestant state churches in Europe by the end of the 16th century, including the Lutheran churches. Today, the British monarch, currently Charles III, is still the supreme governor of the Church of England, and he is titled Defender of the Faith. Now, Henry's idea of the state church was soon contested by many. Although he dissolved the monasteries and he stopped the paying of offerings to Rome, in many ways, Henry's religion was still Catholic. When he died, his crown passed to his daughter, Mary, and she was Catholic. We know her as Bloody Mary for her attempts to exterminate all the Protestant leaders in England. Her successor, we all know, Queen Elizabeth I, established a religious compromise that was too Catholic for people that were known as the Puritans and too Reformed for people that were not. Similar to Luther's idea of the church, the Puritans were inspired by the idea of a church that was purely reformed according to the Word of God. That's where we get the name Puritan. Many of them were unable to live in peace with the King's Church in England, So they sailed to the shores of North America to establish the colonies of Plymouth, New Haven, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire. In due time, they founded the Puritan colleges of Harvard, Yale, and Dartmouth. These three Ivy League colleges were built and supported chiefly to prepare pastors who would teach their congregations purely, that is, according to the Word of God. After the Revolution, that's the Revolutionary War, the idea of religious liberty became dominant, with the result that all these states that were originally Puritan disestablished the state from the church from 1790 to 1833. All of the European lands that claimed Luther's theology, we would call them Lutheran today, in the 16th century adopted some form of state church government. Now, this worked out fine as long as the princes and kings agreed with the Bible and with Luther's theology. But then, as things moved along in history in the 19th century, the kings and princes started to support a theology that was different, the theology of rationalism, which rejected the Word of God and the practices of unionism. And then, at that time, the 19th century, the people that were loyal to the Word resisted. Some of them stayed in Germany and Scandinavia and started free churches that still exist today. Disestablished from the state church, they don't get money from the king or the queen, and they do their own thing. Others immigrated to the United States and Australia, where religious liberty was the official constitutional law. Our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, was founded in 1847 by people who steadfastly adhered to Luther's vision of the church as a people of the Word. It is why we are governed by the people of the congregation. Some were immigrants who settled in St. Louis and Perry County, Missouri, to escape the rationalism of the Saxon king. Some were immigrants who settled in Frankenmuth. We have some friends who live in Frankenmuth, in Saginaw County, Michigan, to escape the unionism of the Bavarian Protestant Church. Some were immigrants who settled near Milwaukee, others in Buffalo, New York, and Central Texas to escape the unionism of the Prussian king. Many were pastors who could not obtain positions in the German church because of their steadfast faith in Jesus and their commitment to Luther's theology and the Word of God. So they came here with the immigrants, where they could freely preach the Word of God. The question then comes to us here at Grace Lutheran Church, San Mateo, after we've been here 102 years in this place. Are we the people of the Word? Do we live up to Luther's vision of a church that is ruled and guided solely by God's Word in the Holy Scriptures? Does the truth of God's Word set us free from sin and all of its powers and effects? Now, I can't answer those questions for you as individuals or as your families. I know what I do. I try my best to preach and teach according to the Holy Scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. I know that we administer the sacraments in the way that Jesus ordained them. I know that other aspects of our life together in this congregation are in accord with the gospel and the Holy Scriptures. And if we find out that they aren't, we do try to correct it. But I can't answer the question of whether you are a person of the Word. I can't answer the question whether you still believe the Word that you once accepted in baptism and confirmation. I can't answer the question of whether you believe all the truth that the Word of God reveals. I can't answer the question of whether you have found the true freedom that comes from the forgiveness of your sins. Only you can answer those questions for yourself. I hope you ask yourself those questions this week as we again observe the Reformation, alongside the more popular holidays of Halloween and All Souls' Day. And I hope that you discover that when the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.